From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Postcard from Poprad with me, Eric Wiltshire, and Lee G. Banks, Rachel Brunsdon, the producer, none other than Caroline Wiltshire this week. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you. And
hi.
Also, got to say hi to Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, and of course the Breeze, and just about anywhere else. Stand by, boys and girls. There is going to be a rather mammoth announcement shortly about RTI getting bigger, and it's yes. And I was.
I didn't eat that many Big Macs, Uncle Eric.
And it's safe to say that Harry took some lovely pictures on top of them. We were on, what's that song that goes, on top of the mountain? Top of the mountain tops? There's a song. Rach, help me out.
I'm grasping.
Yes, you're grasping.
Ain't no mountain high enough?
No, it's another one.
On top of Mount Tetris.
No, it's not the right one. Anyway, we were testing it up there yesterday. Anyway, let's move on. The world's fastest Rubik cube. What is this all about?
The Rubik's cube.
Who wrote this list?
Caroline.
Well, it's interesting, though, isn't it? A 17-year-old, someone younger than me by a year. So that's pretty
much,
cool.
Much younger than Lee.
Yeah, because Lee's a bit younger than you, right?
Excuse me, I want to know what a Rubik's Cube is.
Right. Yeah, but the Rubik's Cube guy, he finished it within, a few seconds. He won $3,000 as a prize. That's, ridiculous. $3,000.
In 7.36 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. And do you know what makes it even weirder? It's the fact that there are other competitions with, similar prize money for people who do it blindfolded and people who do it with their feet.
What?
Yeah.
People do it with their feet.
Yeah, they do it with their feet.
But to be fair, this guy's Australian, and he was in Las Vegas, ergo he was upside down.
Oh, no.
Exactly. But bear in mind, also, if he earned $3,000 in 7.3 seconds, you know how much that puts him on an hour?
Go on.
$1.8 million an hour.
Cool. That's all right, isn't it?
He needs to learn how to do that.
Yeah, he'd be my friend tomorrow. He would definitely be my friend. What's all this about?
Caroline, marry him.
I would.
He's a bit younger than me. I'm probably more mature.
Your
dad, then.
You're more mature than him.
Well, he's playing with a toy for a living.
Well, that's not good, is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me. I take exception to that, my fellow gendered friend. We all sit and play with toys all day for a living.
Yes.
And
I thought you were a pursuit that race.
Oh, well, not those toys, Uncle Lee.
No.
Not a boy.
But you have to remember, Caroline, Lee isn't just old. He's a Luddite. Do you understand He's a Luddite. A Luddite is a person that during the Industrial Revolution decided that new technology wasn't very good.
Caroline, I wasn't alive during the Industrial Revolution.
I thought you were my dad's neighbour during it.
Oh, ouch.
I believe in equal opportunities for men and women. I shall get you back.
She's gone into radio mode all of a sudden, hasn't she?
She has.
Anyway, I have no knowledge about this story whatsoever, but apparently MI5 have got a mystery ad up.
It's a secret.
for a health and safety chief. What?
Chief spelt wrong as well.
No, that's how they did it. Sorry.
Well, do you know what? However you spell it, it's a mystery anyway, because they won't tell you where you work. They tell you you're going to earn £60,000 and that's it.
Yeah.
I found it really interesting, though, because you can't be told anything about it apart from it's a risk.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yes, sign me up.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's but then you've got to assess the risk.
What, before you,
don't
you
know
get the
about
job?
It.
Yeah.
Exactly. You've got to assess the risk by not knowing anything about it. Now that's risky.
Yes.
But apparently this is working at MI5 headquarters in central London.
Where they are.
That's probably what it is. You've got to do a risk assessment. To see where the headquarters is, to see if it's safe to go there.
So basically, if you read between the lines, they've given you all the information you need.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Hey,
that's sad, isn't it?
See, now there is the risk, because if you can read between the lines, then you work out all the secrets and you can cause trouble.
Oh, right. So what? Yeah. So this is the level of journalism coming out now. We've got a link with a former older news story. What's that about?
Well, an EastEnders star, Dean, I've no idea how to say his surname.
Gaffney.
Thank you.
Gaffney.
He played a guy in EastEnders, and he actually revealed that he'd actually applied for MI5 to be a surveillance officer. And I thought that was hilarious, because it's kind of all secret, and yet he's gone and told a newspaper.
That's right.
Well done. Well done, Caroline. That shows you are a journalist.
And he's an actor, so, you know, that's a big leap.
Yeah, it's rather, isn't it? Traffic zebras enforce road safety in Bolivia.
Oh, it's such a cool story. You don't understand. Like,
oh, I see.
Seriously?
Sorry, just a second, boys and girls. I'm old. I don't understand. Okay.
Well, these guys, they're going around in, like, zebra suits by the zebra crossings, and when the lights go red, they jump up in front of the drivers to stop them going through the lights.
So it's Why have you got to wear a zebra suit?
Because it's hilarious, and they're at a zebra crossing. Don't you get the irony?
Where I come from, they'd end up as roadkill.
They could do it, it'd be just as funny if they did it in the birthday suits.
No.
Uncle Lee, you know what they've got here? Uncle Lee, you'll love this. Do you know what they've got here? These girls in Darwin, these girls walk out with billboards when the lights change, and they're in bikinis, and they're advertising a bikini car wash.
Zebras in bikinis.
No, girls in bikinis. And they advertise this car wash. And when we first saw them, Rob nearly crashed the car, and then, of course, I beat him with a stick. But... not for crashing the car, of course, for being a pervert. Yeah. But it's running out in the middle of traffic, regardless of the attire or what mammal you apparently are dressed as, is, I think, highly dangerous.
Well, I'll ask. Have you seen the police ladies at the zebra crossings here?
No.
Did you see them yet?
No, I've not seen them.
Ah, well, what happens in the morning during school breaks when it's very, very hot, the young lady police ladies... who are wearing hot pants and sleeveless tops, go on their push bikes to the crossings where the schools are, and for some unknown reason, the blokes driving cars seem to stop.
Car?
Wow.
Now, isn't that amazing?
And some of the women, I think.
Yeah. Some of the women as well. Yeah, okay. But it's funny how they do that. I don't know. But so why is there a zebra... Why have they got zebras in Bolivia, then? Is it a problem there?
Well, you know, road safety is always a problem everywhere, and it seems to be working a bit here. Well, in Bolivia. Yeah. It seems to be working that safety is actually getting better because there's these people jumping out in front of them. And quite a few people have actually said that being part of, like, this zebra group, Mama Zebra Programme, they call it, it's actually made it a lot better, and it's involving a lot of young people as well.
Mm.
So, seems...
Isn't it... It's an interesting quote from one of the zebras, though, Rebecca, who says, "Before becoming a zebra, I lived a messy life." You could have been a bit messy if you forget to stop, Rebecca.
Yeah, right.
Rebecca,
okay.
Rebecca needs some to your mama. I might mail it to her.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, a lost pigeon. I don't believe
Excuse me. Who spelt pigeon?
P-E-G-E-O-N.
Pigeon.
Three mistakes in three stories.
Right, fair enough. A lost pigeon has been rescued by the... But is it by the Royal Navy? Oh, yes, it's the Royal Navy have rescued a pigeon in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Bless them.
It's a racing pigeon.
Is it? What is
it? We've got some speed for them to catch
it. A racing pigeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're worth lots of money.
They are. Well, not this one.
Yeah, this one gets lost.
This one's an idiot pigeon.
This one's damn foolish.
We should ask Lee about this because he lives up north.
Yeah.
Up north.
Up north, where the funny people are, and they have pigeons everywhere.
We do. We have pigeons everywhere, dear.
Yes. Yeah.
And some of them are worth a fortune. Some are not worth anything. Actually, do you know if you kick a pigeon, it bursts?
Oh, Lee.
What?
That's a bit really, mean.
That's really gross.
That's an old Mancunian tradition.
Right. Anyway, this racing pigeon was apparently lost at sea. What was it? What do you mean it's lost at sea? What was it, rowing its way across the Atlantic or something?
No, he was flying. He was an idiot pigeon. It had got lost. It's a racing pigeon. It's supposed to fly home.
Right.
Don't the forces have something better to do? Like, I don't know, protect your borders and stuff? Was this a immigrant pigeon?
The exhausted bird was wrongly named Paul. Oh, I see, Paul Pigeon, yeah. Paul the Pigeon. By crew members.
Why did you call it Lieutenant?
Probably. I think it should have been called Petra rather than, or Pauline rather than Pauline.
Yeah.
Paul. it landed on the deck of HMS Somerset just over a week ago, and has since then been fed and watered. You've been paying for this, Lee, and your taxes. Been fed and watered by the 185 men and women on board. Well, they've all had a go at feeding it.
That's a lot of water.
They've been fattening it up for a, you know.
Don't say anything nasty about pigeons you've already told.
No, they've been fattening it up, yeah.
Pigeons are just flying rats.
Well, that's true. They are really, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
The
disgusting
creatures. Yeah, well, anyway, apparently, we were right. Apparently, the pigeon comes from Redcar in Cleveland, up north, and it was released, forget this, a cross-channel race from France to England, but ended up in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Ah, so it wasn't that stupid then. At least it knew it was supposed to be over the sea.
Yeah.
Maybe you got a bit of Boeing 747 on the way and just pissed its guts up and landed in the ocean.
Yeah, maybe it was doing really well. Maybe it was taking a sneaky shortcut and the stupid sailors came along and rescued it when it didn't need rescue. Like taking an old woman across the road when she doesn't want to go.
Well, the bloke that owns it said... Yeah, the bloke that owns it says he's saying thank you to the crew of HMS Somerset. But he added, I'd be too worried she would land on the next Royal Navy warship. I would never see her again. The Navy has done such a good job of looking after her. Well, let her go again then if she likes. Perhaps she likes Navy blokes in uniforms.
Well, they're always after the birds.
sounds like bit like the Pidgetanic to me.
Oh, my word. Well, on the week that Twitter's been hammered by everybody for all of its nasty messages. Actually, do you use Twitter?
Yeah, I do use Twitter.
And do you get any nasty messages?
Not really. I get people I don't know follow me, which is a bit odd.
They are a bit odd. Is it?
Well,
but it's because of the radio thing.
Oh, yeah, it's because I'm famous, just saying.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh gosh! This
I think you should become my tweeting friend, Caroline.
Okay.
Yeah, mine too. Thanks very much.
I asked her first.
I see. I'm in demand now.
Yeah. See. Yeah. Oh my word. Anyway, Facebook tribute page for and this is personal to Caroline because she lives in a place called Orpington, which is in South London, and right next door to it, she's a good local journalist, a tribute page for a Pets Wood, which is close to her, topless running man in Pets Wood.
Yeah, he's about 87.
Darling, it would be worse if he was a bottomless running man. A topless running man has no effects at all.
A few weeks ago, they actually had a completely naked old man running down the road in Petswood as well.
Did they?
Yep.
Probably the same place.
I bet it was your dad.
Yep, it probably was, actually.
My retinas are burning.
Yeah, I'm struggling here a bit. So apparently he's Petswoods, which is a tiny little village, most famous topless pensioner. How old is he?
About, they don't actually know because they don't know his identity, like on Facebook or anywhere at the moment.
Right.
But they believe he's around 87 years old.
Like Lee, then.
I can't comment.
Catch him. What are you going to do is catch him and cut off one of his arms and count the rings and then you'll be right.
Yeah. Well, you could do it with his teeth, just like you do with horses, count, do his teeth.
Really?
What do you mean, really? No, don't really catch him. Get arrested.
Really?
Really? So what's the idea of him running down the road with no shirt on then?
We don't know. He does it all times, all throughout the year.
Just for fun?
Well, he gets his little sunglasses on, shorts and, like, shoes.
But what's the point?
Why
he wants to keep fit.
Why solve the Rubik's Cube in 3 minutes? It's the same as everything. Because you can.
Well, yeah, exactly. I suppose. Oh, we're being all serious now. What's this Burka story, then?
This was a story.
Burka.
It's the Burka Adventure. Avenger. Right. There we go.
Excuse me, Burka has an H in it.
I just copied and pasted
Avenger
this, okay?
Has a C in it.
Yeah,
I
right.
copied and pasted. That's
right,
my excuse.
Off you go.
Basically, it's an amazing new superhero. It actually has, like, a point to it. So basically she's going around and she's saving these kids, especially the girls who actually need to have an education in Pakistan, as they're not actually allowed them. And quite often in Pakistan, the girls' like schools get blown up and they're not allowed to go to them. Mm. And this like superwoman is going around. She's a teacher by day, and at night she's getting rid of these guys who are trying to stop her teaching and stop the girls.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Really deep. Come on.
Burka power.
Yeah,
go exactly.
Caroline.
And they actually showed it to an orphanage, and the kids there went absolutely crazy and thought it was awesome. So not only is it awesome here, it's also awesome everywhere.
Cool.
There you go.
It sounds really good. I'd like to play that game.
What, me too. Being a Burka girl?
What superhero
like
would you be, Lee?
What did you say, dear?
What superhero would you be? What would you dress up as?
I'd be Daffo the Dill.
Ooh.
Daffo the Dill.
What's
the flower power man who saved the world.
Nice, I love it.
Right. Do you,
what would you be? You'd be Fat Man instead of Batman. And Harry would be your little friend Dobbin.
Oh. No, I don't know. What superhero would I be? I don't know.
What
I'd like. Actually,
girl.
Actually, this is would not be a pervy thing.
You know, frightening people.
No. This would be my dream superhero. I'd like to be the Invisible Man, so that I could drive down the road in my car, and when the policeman look at it and go, "Oh my god," and try to catch you, just go, "What?" and just sit there and just sort of carry on driving. Don't stop. Because
as a factual thing, I don't think the Invisible Man was a superhero. He was just somebody you couldn't see, and nobody knows whether he existed or not. So you're just talking rubbish.
You know what I'd like to be? I'd like to be the vomit bag lady.
Right. I thought we were going
to delivering vomit bags. Delivering vomit bags to people in need.
I thought we were going to get Catwoman there. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
Sorry, that's Rob's dream, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. He's
a
very big dream.
Push this.
Yeah.
I don't think I could pull off that suit, just quietly.
Anyway, apparently a road rage driver was seen blasting off down the road in Moscow with a policeman on the bonnet.
I love it. Because that policeman's a superhero. How long did he hang on for ages?
Did he?
I tell you what, that's some mascot to have on your bonnet, isn't it? better than a flying lady.
Yeah, you have a Russian policeman on the front of your car.
Yeah.
That's a new hood.
You have
on
to polish him every morning.
So was he was he in the police car, this bloke, or in his own
car? He was actually trying to stop the car. He was trying to stop it from doing an illegal move on the road.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, "I'm not having anything from the police." And just was like, "I'm going to carry on driving," and drove, and he ended up on the bonnet.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you a true story about this. This is a God's honest true story.
Right.
A few years ago, my ex-wife, we were out having a drink. She wasn't drinking because she was driving, and we had a bit of a tiff, like, you know, ex-ex-wives and ex-ex-husbands do. And she went out, jumped in the car, and was going to leave me. So I jumped on the bonnet of the car, and she drove off with me on the bonnet of the car.
Really?
Yes. I thought that was very dangerous, particularly when she put the windscreen wipers on to try and flick me off.
Well, probably...
See, you're already a superhero.
Yeah, that would have been a good idea. But apparently this bloke went a kilometre down the road, then was chucked off of the car, the policeman, that is, and was narrowly missed getting run over at the same time. Ooh. Flipping heck. And the reason, I just wonder if this is the reason they
good
got...
job. She was actually looking in the notes. She was actually driving a Dodge.
Yeah, how to dodge the policeman. Apparently, the driver had previous convictions for theft and possessions of drugs. I just wonder...
He was a dodgy driving a Dodge.
A dodgy driving a Dodge. A dodgy Muscovite driving a Dodge. Yeah, all right then. I know why you've got this story. I just realised. How do you do exterminate?
Exterminate.
Do it in a funny voice, Rachel.
That's my regular voice, so I put on my funny voice to talk to you guys.
All right. A Dalek straw sculpture. Really?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It is
ridiculous. Yep.
It's huge as well, isn't it? It's huge. I can't remember how many feet. Let me scroll down.
I haven't seen it. I will just scroll down on the auto queue. Yeah, right. Go on, carry on.
Well, it's come out because it's the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And so they've decided to honour Doctor Who and all the Doctors and everything going on about it by making a huge straw Dalek.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason, really.
It's up north again, isn't it?
Yeah. I just think it's hilarious, though. As soon as there's some wind, like there always is up north,
yeah,
it's just going to all fall down.
Hello, Lee.
You got me blowing hot and cold, anyway.
Apparently it's up on the A51 Chester Road.
I know that road. I've been up and down that road.
I'm sure you
well
have.
Done.
On the body of a car.
In Nantwich, in Cheshire, in the north of the UK. And it's at Snugbury's Ice Cream Shop. Marvellous.
I actually do know it. I know the shop. I actually have had ice cream from that shop.
Go see the sculpture and put the photos on Facebook.
Oh, that's a good idea. Lee, this is your job. You've got to go and get a picture of the Doctor Who at Nantwich and we'll put it on Facebook.
All right, I will do that. I will fly off there now. I will jump on a bit of wind and skin off down there in my Dapper the Dill outfit and photograph this straw Doctor Who.
Yeah, how big's
couple of mouthfuls of curry.
In my Bentley.
No,
I'll go in my Bentley.
Right, okay. How tall is your Dalek?
I don't know.
Oh, darling.
When did you last put it up in proper?
I'm not taking it out of the box. It's expensive.
Oh.
You don't miss it.
It's a mitten box. Don't do that.
Exactly.
Caroline, have you really got a Dalek?
Yep. So don't mess with me, basically.
I really am.
If you do, she'll exterminate you.
How tall is it?
This tall?
That's about 2 feet tall.
How tall is that on the radio?
It's about 2 foot, Lee.
But man, it can do some damage.
2 foot tall, darling. Well, it's only a baby one. Look after it.
Yeah.
About as tall as Eric.
Yeah, but you missed the good point, Lee.
What?
You're an anti. He collects old things, but there again, he's old anyway.
Are you saying just because I've got married to Andrea? Is that what you mean?
No.
No,
no, she's. No. That's cradle snatching. What you did. the truth is, she is right in not taking the toy out of the box, which is already it was issued to commemorate the 40th anniversary of Doctor Who.
I can value that for you then.
Go on then. Come on.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, go.
What you want me to do? Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually Caroline, as an expert in these matters of aged things, and as Eric says, I have a lot of affection for old things. That's why I quite get on with him. it's actually worth probably in the region of £450.
Well,
that's why we take them out the box when you get these things.
I wish you pay for it. £1,000.
Do you know where it came from, Lee?
Well, I didn't hear you. My thing went off.
Okay. It was gifted to me by BBC.
Oh, it's an old one.
Yes.
Ooh. You said it was the 40th anniversary.
Yes, it's this year is the 50th.
So it's only 10 years old then.
Yeah, it was gifted to certain journalists on the 40th anniversary of Doctor Who. I took it into a well-known radio station in London where you did all the sound effects of it, put it straight back in the box.
Yeah. Already ruined.
No. It was, I then, this was a joke. The girl that was in charge, I took this Doctor Who back, this Dalek back, and I said, it's a shame I had to take it out of the box, but I hope you enjoy what we did with it. She said, oh, she said, that was fabulous. Thank you so much. Let's swap it. And she gave me one in the box, never opened.
Okay, well, that's all right.
As a thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I actually had a bottle of beer, which was to commemorate. Do you remember that programme called Darling Buds of May?
Yes.
It was a commemorative bottle of beer for Darling Buds of May, and I was given that in the same sort of way as you were given that Dalek a promotional thing.
Yeah.
And that was probably about nearly 20 years ago.
Mm.
And I checked out how much it was worth now, and that actually, remember, it's one bottle of beer, was worth almost £750. The problem is, I drank it 8 years ago.
Oh dear. Let's probably finish off with we'll do this. A 5-year-old boy was shell shocked, oh ho ho ho, as an airport has taken away his Ninja Turtle toys.
That's
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Yeah. Go on,
ridiculous toy.
It's hilarious, though, isn't it? It's, you know, the little...
I like you.
Thank you.
It's hilarious because a 5-year-old got his toy.
No, but it is. It's ridiculous. These plastic... It was a sword, right? Yeah. But it was a plastic one from, like, you know, the Mutant Ninja Turtle collection that, like, everywhere has.
Yeah.
And because it was technically a weapon, they had to take it away. And I thought, that's a bit daft. It's not really a weapon, is it?
No.
It's plastic. If you hit someone with it, it breaks.
Boy, and from a 5-year-old, I mean, you know, I hope he vomited everywhere.
He could have had somebody's eye out.
Ha, ha, ha. Hang on, we'll do one more. Final story of the week this week. Newlyweds and 33 guests celebrate their reception to their loving day at McDonald's.
At least it was cheap.
Yeah.
That's not cheap. That's cheapskate.
You realise, of course, Caroline, when you get married, you realise, of course, that Uncle Eric's going to make you do the same, for economic reasons. So get ready for that. I hope they've got a lovely ball pit.
They've got a good McDonald's in Alpington.
Yeah, you do realise that I've already planned my whole wedding. So, you know, just be warned, it's going to be expensive.
Oh, right.
Travelling people know that McDonald's is the one thing that saves every traveller's life. You get good food if you need, or whether you get food, everything, and
exactly
the toilets are always clean and spotless. So whatever you need as a travelling man, you get at McDonald's.
That's very true indeed. That's a beautiful point to finish the programme as we say goodbye to our special guest producer this week, Caroline Wiltshire. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Rach.
Bye-bye, Rach.
Bye-bye, Lee.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Eric. See you next week, boys and girls. Same channel, same time. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.